time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is a show where we're awake by the Saturday morning sun, plop down on the floor with the big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris, sounding extra sexy this week with my cold. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. So the show Magic School Bus aired from 94 to 97, created and developed by Scholastic Entertainment based on the books by Joanna Cole and Bruce Deegan, produced by Nelvana Hanho Hangup, which is the animation production studio, South Carolina ETV, and Scholastic Entertainment, ran for 4 seasons, 52 episodes on the PBS Kids Network. And for a short synopsis, an eccentric school teacher takes her class on wondrous educational field trips with the help of a magical school bus. That sums it up. We don't even need to review the show. That's it. That's it. The show.
Thanks, guys, for listening. My name's Chris. You know, it's kind of weird when you're talking about like the production studios and stuff. Like, it's weird hearing something like Hanho and then something else that's like South Carolina. It just seems really strange, like a strange mix.
Well, it's kind of all over the board because Nelvana is the Canadian company. So you've got Canada, you've got Japan, and you've got the U.S. in there too.
Yeah, like Southern America. Yeah, it just seems really strange to have those three together.
Well, I don't know, man. They're all getting along for the sake of the kids. It's for the kids, for the
it's
children.
For the kids. They're doing it for the children. I mean, that's a good reason to do anything, right? Except like murder, probably.
It depends on who you're murdering.
You don't want to commit federal crimes and say you're doing it for the children.
Please think of the children.
Exactly. I wonder if any serial killer has ever used that in a court of law. I did it for the children.
I did it for the kids. That's my excuse from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, who are some of the actors who played in this show?
All right. So the voice of Miss Frizzle was Lily Tomlin, who has been on shows like Sesame Street, Murphy Brown, The West Wing, Desperate Housewives, and Damages. The voice of Arnold was Danny Tamborelli, who you may recognize from The Adventures of Pete and Pete as the younger Pete. He was in the movie Mighty Ducks and the show on Nickelodeon, All That. The voice of Carlos was Daniel DeSanto, who was on shows Are You Afraid of the Dark, Beyblade, and Totally Spies. Oh, I forgot. Totally Spies. I think that's the way we did it when we we did that one.
Well, it's got the exclamation point. You have to.
Totally Spies! The voice of Keisha was Erica Luttrell, who was on Shining Time Station, as told by Ginger. She was also the voice of the female witch doctor from Diablo 3, which made me super happy. And she was the voice of Sapphire from Steven Universe. The voice of Dorothy Ann was Tara Mayer, who was on The Busy World of Richard Scarry and Tales from the Crypt Keeper. You're going to notice there's a lot of this cast was in Tales from the Crypt Keeper. So I know that'll make you happy, Joseph.
Interesting, yeah.
The voice of Phoebe was Maya Filar, who is in Goosebumps, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, and a movie called Jailbait. The voice of Wanda was Lisa Jai, who was in Babar, Rupert, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, Monster Force, The Neverending Story, and, again, The Busy World of Richard Scarry. The voice of Ralphie was Stuart Stone, who's been in several Super Mario Brothers cartoons. He was also in Babar, Rupert, Monster Force, as well as Rin Tin Tin, Canine Cop, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, X-Men as Proteus, and The Busy World of Richard Scarry. And Tim, voiced by Andre Otley Laurent, was in Goosebumps. So lots of this cast has been in Busy World of Richard Scarry, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, and Goosebumps. It seems like very reoccurring. So I'm guessing contracts with the same production companies, all of these actors and actresses.
What is that Busy World of Richard Scarry? I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of the Busy World of Richard Scarry?
Is that like a cat thing?
Yeah, let me tell you. It's a whole town full of animals. It's a cat. And his best friend is a worm named Loli. his lowly worm. He has a German hat.
I looked it up. Now I know what you're talking about. I didn't know it was, I guess it would be scary. I don't know. Is that how you say it? Scary?
Scary. That's right.
Huh.
I mean, that's obviously, cool. Look at it.
it looks horrifying.
Really happy animals living their lives together.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking it was some kind of like horror cartoon I've never heard of.
No.
That was the opposite of what I thought.
What's scary is the things that they don't show you that happens in that world.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's the scary part.
Where are you putting that worm, Richard? Anyway, I'm sorry, Richard Scary fans. I didn't. I probably was one as a kid. Like, that looks super familiar.
I watched it as a kid. It was on Nick Jr., man. It was part of that whole Nick Jr. block with Blue's Clues and all that stuff.
Okay. Richard Scary. Got it. Now it's in my mind forever.
I'm glad.
Completely misunderstood.
It makes me happy to know.
So here's a few tasty marshmallows out of our big bowl of Magic School Bus cereal. So it was the first fully animated series to be aired on PBS. So congrats to that. The show's theme song is called Ride on the Magic School Bus, was written by Peter Lurie and performed by rock and roll legend Little Richard. So, interesting.
That's weird. That's really weird.
Yeah, that Little Richard sang that song. Yeah,
like whose idea was like, you know, who would be great at singing the theme song for a children's educational cartoon? Little Richard. Like,
of course.
He's the one we need.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's our man.
Right. He must have really like, I don't know. I mean, I never knew much about his career, but it must have dived by then. And he's just like, will anyone please like give me money?
You know, I don't know much about Little Richard either, but I mean, I like the song. It's stuck in my head forever for all these years.
Oh my gosh.
But so Lily Tomlin won a Daytime Emmy for her role as Miss Frizzle.
Wow.
And understandably, like she did a great job.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, and lastly, this is going to kind of tie into the new series that's coming out. So the new one was announced by Netflix and Scholastic Media, originally titled The Magic School Bus 360. This has now been changed to The Magic School Bus Rides Again. It will star Kate McKinnon as a new teacher, Miss Frizzle's younger sister, Fiona Felicity Frizzle.
Hmm.
And the theme song will be composed by Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, that if they wanted to keep the spirit instead of, like, because the last one was Little Richard, they would have to find another musician whose career is on the decline instead of someone at the top of their game. Like,
well, maybe they're just amping it. Like, I mean, this is a Netflix production,
But, I mean, you know, this is for
a new journey.
Korn, that's who they need. They need a Korn. They need Korn, that band, to do a cover.
Just the last band you would think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, yeah, they're on the outs. They're doing like local shows at casinos now because no one remembers who they are. Remember all the dreadlocks and stuff? That new metal? Remember the good old days of new metal, Joseph?
The good old days. So this show, actually, the new one's coming out on September 29th. 2017, which is actually,
so it came out this week is what you're saying.
Actually, yeah, because
it's out now.
When you're listening to this, it came out maybe yesterday. I don't know, I lose track of time.
Yeah, you're not really good with days or time.
Yeah, September 29th, 2017, and yeah,
cool.
So looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah.
So, do you have any memories of this show? I'm sure you do.
Not a lot. I mean, I knew of it, but I never watched it, ever. I just, like,
really?
I don't, when I was a kid, I didn't like educational stuff that much. I didn't want to be educated. Like, I proudly watched shows that would just continue my stupidity instead of changing me. You know, I was proud of who I was. I didn't want to change.
Instead of changing you in a positive way.
I didn't want to be smarter. So,
did you even read, bro? Did you read the books at all?
No. Like, I didn't know there was books.
Oh my gosh.
You know, this is why, like, when I was a kid, you know, and I watched Blue's Clues, which you could argue is educational. But, like, with that show, they would just be like, you know, Steve would be like, do you see a clue? And like everything would be quiet and I'm looking around. I'm like, no, I don't see shit. And then you just hear some kid off camera. I was like, a clue. And I'm like, man, I didn't.
He beat me to it again.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't even get a chance. So
stupid off camera kid.
So I didn't think of it as educational as I was trying to compete with these kids cheating on Blue's Clues. So I didn't really watch much educational stuff. And this was included in that thing that I didn't watch.
That surprises me a little bit, but I guess it doesn't. So, I mean, I remember watching the show and even having some of the books myself from the Scholastic Book Fair. So I have some pretty fond memories of it, but I don't know. Let's see if it stands the test of time when we jump right into the three episodes we watched for today's show. Very first episode, highest rated episode, finally random listener chosen episode. The order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode, being Gets Lost in Space. So I guess the way that it started the season was like, so the title of the show is The Magic School Bus, and then it would make these titles like continuations of that, but it only did that for the first, like, I don't know, part of the season, I think, because this one is just Gets Lost in Space. Obviously, it's trying to tag on to The Magic School Bus, Gets Lost in Space.
Man, now you got me thinking about those Scholastic book fairs, and like, you would go there specifically to find new Goosebump books, but they would they would only have like these little like crappy novella versions that are like 30 pages and come with a free POG, and you'd be real disappointed. But back to the show.
So in this one, Arnold's cousin Janet visits Miss Frizzle's class to go on a field trip to the planetarium to watch a show about the solar system.
I gotta tell you, Janet's the worst kid I've ever seen.
Oh, man. Janet was annoying.
I'm adding her to my list of worst characters of all time.
And she's not even like an ongoing character, I hope. Hopefully this was the only episode she was
in. No, I think this is the only episode she appears in.
But she comes from like, I mean, Arnold, I guess, comes from just a family of these annoying people. Because he's one of the most annoying ongoing characters.
Redheaded kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really perpetuating that redhead stereotype. They're like, here's the obnoxious redhead without a soul.
Well, he's like the redheaded kid with glasses, but he's not like a nerd because the other kids seem smarter than him. He's just like a really scared kid.
Well, I think he's a dork because he's like kind of smart, but other kids are smarter. But he has the appearance of what you would expect to be the smartest kid. So I think that pretty much just makes him a dork. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I don't know what the categorization's like.
Yeah.
I guess for the other characters in this, at least the ones that we see right away, we've got Phoebe, we've got Ralphie, we've got Keisha, and then Janet. Well, Janet we talked about. Ugh. And Arnold.
This whole episode, she's bragging about her teacher, and then she's bragging about how good she is at everything. And she's like so
all the cool stuff.
Narcissistic. It, like, she carries around old report cards of hers with straight A's and papers with A's on them. And she carries around like an award she got from jumping high. Just sucks.
Oh, man. Do you remember the part where she's talking about her teacher being better than Miss Frizzle? And Arnold gives her some hard side eye. He's like, nobody is better than Miss Frizzle.
Yes. Yeah. He was ready to like, he's ready to put up, man. Like, he was clenching those fists. What I like too is there was I don't remember if it was that scene or if it was a scene earlier, but when they're in the classroom talking and she kept going on and on, there in the background, there's a plastic skeleton, you know, so that they can teach health and stuff like that. And the skeleton, like, puts his hands up where his ears would be. In all the other episodes, he doesn't move or anything. So it was just this one time she was so obnoxious that even inanimate objects, like, try not to listen to her.
Even the dead knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's the worst. Obviously, like, they're just driving around at first. They're going to a planetarium, but it ends up being closed. And so, you know, she just continues going on about how she's better, her class is better, her teacher's better, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, the inevitable happens and the magic school bus blasts off into space and they have to wear their sunblock 9000 sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, because they're like, well, let's go visit the sun. That's probably the best place to go.
Yeah, the first thing to do. Let's do it.
Why do they have a baby triceratops?
Oh, I was thinking that was a chameleon.
Yeah, but it's got three horns.
Yeah, chameleons have three horns.
They do? Because it's got like the little horn on its nose and then it's got the two horns over its head. And I'm just like, that's a really tiny but long triceratops.
No, chameleons have three horns.
No way.
They have two like on their forehead and then one coming out of their nose.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that Liz, who you're talking about, is just a chameleon.
I don't know, man. Liz looks pretty triceratops to me. Man, I'm looking at pictures of chameleons. I have seen no horns, man.
Look at Jackson's chameleons.
Jackson's?
Yeah.
It was Jackson.
Guy who discovered these horned chameleons, I guess. Oh,
gross. These things look disgusting.
But I'm pretty positive that's what Liz sick. Is.
I guess that's what it is, but God, these are ugly. Whoa. They should have gotten Triceratops, man. This is awful.
Yeah.
That's the ugliest lizard I've ever seen.
That's funny that you even said that. Like, I didn't even think for a second of a Triceratops, but I had always just assumed it was a lizard.
It just looked like a little Triceratops to me. Just a little longer than it should be and a little bit shorter. A lot of bit shorter.
Well, I mean, I guess it could be a Triceratops, but I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm pretty sure it's a Jackson's chameleon. So what they're doing is they're going from planet to planet and, you know, they're landing on the planet, exploring it. And then Janet's thing is like she wants to bring a souvenir bag so she can prove to everyone, because we see, you know, it foreshadows a little bit by how she has like proof of everything that she's done.
Right.
Just on her person. So she has to get that from every planet she goes to. Most of it's just like whatever kind of meteorite she can find, or I don't know, just any kind of ground she can find on these planets.
You know how they could have like solved this problem really quickly? Is if they're like, Janet, you know where you should go get a souvenir? The sun.
Yeah.
Go get out there and grab it.
The suit is sunproof. Just go.
You're fine.
At a certain point, Miss Frizzle gets kind of lost in space. And
yeah, but the way it happens is hilarious, though. It's because like something's like wrong with the bus at one point, and she goes out like her and Liz. Is it Liz or Lizzie? It's Liz.
I think it's Liz.
Oh, yeah. Lizzie is from Rampage World Tour. That's what I'm thinking of. So yeah. Her and Liz go on top of the bus trying to repair it. Janet like is trying to snatch an asteroid. She ends up making it hurtle towards like the bus. Frizzle sees it coming and she's just like, nope, bye. And her and Liz just leave. She's like, Liz, hit that little jet thing on my backpack. And they just go flying off. And she's like, keep pressing it. And they just float away and just leave all these kids hanging, floating through space.
In space. Yeah. And of all people, she puts Janet as a navigator.
You know, I feel like I doubt that these kids' parents signed permission slips giving permission to go into outer space unsupervised. You know
what's, I feel like what's interesting is like, and this is never stated, so it's probably, you know, it's probably intended to be factual, like they're actually going to these places, but I was like, maybe it's their imaginations. Maybe they're just really good at imaginations, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's literally supposed to be them going to space or whatever.
Or like, so Frizzle's been spiking their Kool-Aids, you know, which is very possible.
The parents signed that one for sure. Oh, medication?
You know, great. I was told by my girlfriend that there is an episode where she takes the parents on a journey instead of the kids.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So, like, she spiked the parents' Kool-Aid, too, I guess.
Yeah. It's just all about spiking Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I mean, when isn't it?
Yeah. So, something else that was funny was when they came to Uranus, they kept calling it Uranus.
Yeah, they were dodging that one.
They were dodging it. But the super funny part that made me laugh was when I think Arnold was on Janet's lap trying to hold her down, and she was like, sorry, cousin, Uranus doesn't do a thing for me, so you can get off me, okay? And I was like, man, that's almost like a, I don't know if it was intentional, it was like a really subtle, like, butt joke kind of.
Oh, it was. That's a butt
joke.
Yeah. You know, some, like, really big, sweaty writer is sitting in the staffing room, like, giggling to himself, writing that thing in. He's just...
Like, Uranus doesn't do a thing for me.
They're
going to
get it. that's what happened. You know, my favorite one was when they stopped by Jupiter and she's like, I got to get some of that big red spot. And I'm like, that's a fucking hurricane, Janet. You don't bottle up hurricanes. It's like a little girl running out with a mason jar trying to catch Hurricane Irma. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Well, she did it. She got some of the red.
I mean, it gets to a point where, like, she gets so much stuff that the bus can't take off. Like, they're on Pluto and the bus is too full. Oh, yeah,
it overflows. Well, because, like, when she was on, I can't remember which planet it was, one of the planets, she gets, like, all these gigantic ice cubes.
I think that was
Mars.
Like,
why do you need that many of them? Just bring one. Like, you'd be fine. But she overloaded the bus with all that junk.
She's got issues. It gets so bad that they're like, no, like, we can't bring your stuff. And then she refuses to get back on the bus. She's like, I'm going to stay here then. And I would have been like, yeah, fine. But Arnold's just like, well, I'm just going to kill myself. And he like pulls his helmet off and immediately his face freezes.
Arnold becomes like instantly suicidal. Like that's his first thought. Not even like a threat. Like I'm going to do it. He's like, well, I'm doing it. And he does. He takes his helmet off and his head just freezes. But I was like, what the heck? Like, why? Why would he do that? For Janet, of all people.
Well, I'm just thinking, well, maybe that was just an out. Like, maybe he was doing it, he didn't want her to feel bad, but really, he just can't stand living with Janet anymore.
Oh.
So he's like, I'd rather just die. So he takes his helmet off in space.
Well, and luckily, they save him, and he's just got a cold after just he like gets me. Back on the bus. So there you go.
Yeah.
You've been taking your helmet off on other planets?
Well, yeah, because I was watching this episode with Janet. And I was like, it's not worth it.
This is what you learned is you can take your helmet off in space. You'll just get a cold.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. That's what happened.
And I mean, Janet's just like most amazing field trip ever. All that mess. And Miss Frizzle closes like she does with every episode with like a one liner where she's like, as I always say, class, you're out of this world. And everybody laughs and it's all happy.
Yeah. I think the whole class laughs at the end of every episode.
Yeah, but I think it's always like a one-liner and then a laugh
thing. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Absolutely.
At least that's what it seems like. So the second episode we watched for today's show was In the Haunted House. So the magic school bus in the haunted house. Season 1, episode 8. And it was chosen by me because it's a haunted house. And if I see any episode like that, no matter what show it is, I have to see it.
Oh, yeah. I remember I was like, hey, do you want to choose the episode this time? And then you immediately said that. And I'm like, that figures.
Yeah. Can't give me that kind of power.
That was my mistake.
In this one, Carlos invents a new instrument for the class concert at the Sound Museum, but it sounds awful. I'm just going to leave it at that, and we can talk about it.
It sounds like garbage and farts.
Mixed together. They're in music class. They're doing their thing. Miss Frizzle's not even there. I don't know. They're just playing music. He's invented this thing, but it doesn't sound like anything. It has no tune to it. It's just a big mixture of pretty much whatever he could find and put together. I can't even remember. There was like a shoe on it or a boot or something, and
it had wings somehow. I don't know if he ripped the wings off some animal he found and threw those on there, but
Janet's scalp might have been on there. Yeah, I don't know.
Her it was, dead heart is in
the middle of that. It was everything you could think of.
Janet's gone, thankfully.
Yes, Janet's not in this episode.
Actually, you know what? Arnold and Tim at some point leave the show as well, I believe. Or if they don't, the voice actors do. Because their voice actors for those two in particular are listed quite a few episodes shorter than everybody else.
Okay.
So I don't know what the deal is. Maybe Janet came back and like took a couple months. She's like, this time I'll do it for real, Arnold. Takes him back to space and pulls his helmet off again. And then takes Tim with her.
Oh, Miss Frizzle also just... This is of note, I suppose. She wears different earrings in every episode and different dresses.
Yes.
So her earrings in this one are whistles because, of course, it has to do with sound. They're having trouble because they don't think they're going to be prepared for this concert that they have to throw. So she ends up taking them out to, I don't know, just this dark forest. And then, of course, their bus breaks down. And this is where it turns into like the horror portion where it's like,
did you see that bus though? Like, so this bus has eyes and a mouth and stuff, and that bus was giving her the eye. Like, that bus is so tired of Miss Frizzle's shit. Like, it looks so mad.
Yeah, the bus has had enough, and she's taking him to this dark forest at night. So this is where it's like, I don't understand. Like, I get maybe like parents signed a thing where it's like, okay, we're gonna be going on field trips, but I don't know if overnight is something that they ever agreed to.
Well, I almost feel like the night portion only happened because the bus broke down, and Miss Frizzle, because she's a really irresponsible teacher, like didn't call the parents, and instead she was like, look, there's an old house, and they decide to like break in and trespass.
Yeah.
Like their field trip ended up being learning how to trespass and breaking and entering.
That was part of it. Yeah. Picking locks.
They became squatters. They started living in this house.
Yeah.
They're all going to sleep there.
Carlos hears this sound, like this horrifying, like ghost, like wail kind of thing. And he's like, I love this sound. I have to capture it. Like, this is the sound that I need for my instrument. And so that's his mission the whole time, is to find this noise, like to find out where this noise is coming from.
They just end up seeing a bunch of weird stuff. It turns out that they're inside of a sound museum, quote unquote, and that it was owned by some old lady that disappeared and no one knows what happened to her and they assume she's dead.
Yeah, so they assume like the place is haunted by her ghost.
And they just learned for the first time that sound is made by vibrations. And Carlos has this epiphany like, oh, like that's how I make my instrument work. It has to vibrate. And I'm like, hey, like what?
It's like, what was he even doing before? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, so he figures that out. You get a high sound by a fast vibration and a low sound by a slow vibration. And they go through all this stuff with the kind of bass and treble. I don't think they ever say bass and treble, but that's essentially what it is. So Carlos at one point falls into a dungeon. So that's pretty cool. And I think it's Arnold who's like, if they torture you, don't tell them anything. Like he's such a coward.
Carlos falls down this thing and then Miss Frizzle jumps down it too and is just yelling for the kids to follow her. I'm like, if they just do it, like what would happen if Miss Frizzle ever did snap or something like that? She would totally like get those kids to kill themselves or something. Like,
see, it's one of those things that's like, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? But then in this case, it's like if Miss Frizzle jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? And of like, course they all would. Like without question.
Arnold's the only one that would live because he's the
cowardly voice of reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, see, this is why like, she's totally spiking the Kool-Aid, man. She's the type. She's the personality that, like, one of these days we're gonna open our fake newspapers and see, like, Miss Frizzle's school bus cult commits suicide by spiked Kool-Aid, and they broke into some old lady's house and they did it. It's done.
That's a very long headline on the newspaper.
It's the cold talking
with all that, and they did it. Yep, it's done.
This cold is really attacking my brain.
In this dungeon, they hear that sound coming through the door. And so that sound that Carlos was after. And so they run that direction to try to find it. They end up meeting Cornelia, who is the granddaughter or the great granddaughter of the original owner of the house who everyone assumed was haunting the place. And it's just her like, playing creepy music.
And she's been smoking cigarettes like nonstop since she was born. Because that voice, when she first turns around, she's like, hello. Oh, yeah. But then she starts talking all normal. I'm like, what is wrong with her? And she's just been. So these kids and this teacher broke into her house. And the whole time she's just been sitting in that basement playing one single creepy note on an organ. The entire time. Like, this is not like a person that's like doing well in the head.
So they end up like, okay, so they've learned about sound and Carlos has perfected his instrument. And then they end up going, they make it to their concert the next day or the next morning or whatever. And they play through it. Carlos gets the short end of the stick here because Cornelia, she takes his instrument to take it to the sound museum, but he just created that thing. So shouldn't he be paid for it? Shouldn't he get some kind of royalty for it?
Nah, I think that was like, I think it was kind of like, you know, I could go to the police about you breaking into my house unless you hand over your instrument. So yeah, I think it was blackmail.
That's the trade-off. Okay, yeah. That's fair.
And Miss Frizzle, like, she got a little scary at the end of this because she's been yodeling a lot. Her and Cornelia, like, I guess she wants them to do like a yodel dance party. And then she yells at Cornelia to play this music. And sounds all angry and crazy. Like she had murder in her voice. I don't trust her. They start
singing like the Heidi, 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 high, lodi, 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 low thing. Yeah. And dancing to it.
I don't trust her.
I forgot about her doing that. Yeah.
It was disturbing.
So the last episode we watched for today's show was Gets Ready, Set, Dough. So Magic School Bus Gets Ready, Set, Dough. This is the highest rated season 1, episode 9. And in this one, on Miss Frizzle's birthday, the kids in the class want to throw a surprise party for her, but they have no cake. Bum, bum, bum. And that's the issue of this episode.
Yeah, they need cake.
They gotta find a cake.
Do you think it was weird that the beginning of the, they were talking about chemistry and stuff like that, but then they keep talking about how they really need to get to a chemical plant so they can make a cake. And I'm like, why do you keep calling the ingredients chemicals and talking about chemical plants and being all secretive? It sounds like a meth den in the making to me.
Yeah,
Miss Frizzle's been having to watch Breaking Bad or something.
Cake's the safe name for it. Yeah,
exactly. Making some of that blue cake.
Yeah, making some of that cake. Well, the kids are in the classroom, but Miss Frizzle's outside fixing the bus because she never supervises them. So I don't know. She just like kind of leaves them to their own devices and themselves.
Because there's something super contradictory about that in this episode, because like in order to try to make a cake, they're like, well, we got to distract Miss Frizzle and get her away from us. And Arnold's like, but the teacher never abandons her bus. And I'm like, except the last two episodes we watched, she abandoned you guys.
Except from what we watched, 100% of the time, she abandons you and the bus at her fancy. Yeah, even in space.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My other favorite part was just like, so the bus is having problems again, because I honestly think the bus just doesn't want to live anymore.
Maybe it's like Beauty and the Beast thing where it's like a human soul trapped inside of a
bus. And, I think it's true. Yeah. it just doesn't have the stamina to keep going and live this blasphemous life.
Maybe Miss Frizzle is a witch of some sort and she has cursed it.
Yeah. Actually, there's a lot of speculation that Miss Frizzle is a Time Lord and that the bus is her TARDIS. So for you Doctor Who fans out there, I don't know all the logistics of it. I just know that it's a theory because Reddit. So you guys can figure it out for yourselves. But so she's trying to repair the bus. She needs some parts. And the kids are like, hey, let's go, blah, blah, blah. We need to see how to use chemicals. And she's like, we'll go to a bakery. And I'm like, awfully convenient that she says bakery before the kids do. And that's where they wanted to go in the first place.
Yeah, it's almost like she knew they were going to throw her a surprise party.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, there's an auto parts. There's like, an O'Reilly's next door. Go over there, get parts for that bus. And she's like, okay. And she puts the lizard in charge of these kids' lives. So this lizard is driving the bus and is in charge.
To be fair, Liz is probably a better like supervisor than Janet was. So
yeah, that's true.
At least she's improved.
Yeah. I mean, if we take a look at this episode, Liz almost just gets them baked to death, where Miss Frizzle almost just leaves them lost in space and also like has them break into a house. So I don't know, man. It's a toss up.
Emphasis on almost. Almost gets them baked.
They get into this baker shop with this very, I don't know why they went Italian for the stereotype here, but they went with a really Italian stereotype. And this guy's like singing to himself the whole time, like opera music. And he's got like the mustache and everything.
Oh, and just to also kind of put it out there, to get inside, I think, I don't know if it's closed or if they just don't want to reveal themselves, but they shrink to like a very small size. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kid size.
What's weird is I don't think they meant for that to happen.
Oh, you're right. Because like something on the bus was malfunctioning. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
The bus is always malfunctioning. And in this case, it just turned them really small.
I just think that they need a new bus. I mean,
maybe.
Obviously, but I mean,
it just takes a while to bind a human soul to a bus, I would imagine.
It's true. There's a lot involved and there's a lot of blood and sacrifice and just really unpleasant things that, I mean, you know, there's a difference between exposing a child to that and like letting them kill themselves in space.
Here's a thought. Like maybe we never hear about what happens to Miss Frizzle's class after they graduate because their graduation is literally being like they're all being sacrificed to become the next class's bus.
Yeah, their souls powered the bus. That's what it is. It doesn't run. I've never seen her fill it up with gasoline.
That's what happened to Arnold and Tim
and Janet. Janet probably right from the get go. They're like, well, we got to sacrifice her, and that's why the bus keeps breaking down. Now it's just because her soul was defective. Like her soul had too much ethanol or something.
So there you go. I mean, it makes sense. Bus has got to run on something.
Did you find it weird that like they're baking this cake and like the sack of what is supposed to be flour has three X's on it? I was like,
yes.
What's either pornographic or poisonous about this? This flour.
And the bus is flying around with egg beaters, like spinning egg beaters.
Yeah, it's weird.
Or it's kind of helicopter. Logistically, I don't know how that would work, but I've seen the bus fly without any wings, so I guess technically it doesn't even need those.
Yeah, it's just, it's science.
It's whatever.
I mean, I'm sure
magic.
We're no Bill Nye, but I'm sure it can be explained.
they were looking for a cake at first, but there's no chocolate cake, and that's her favorite, so they have to get chocolate cake, of course. Because if there was chocolate cake, there wouldn't be an episode, because they would have just bought it and been done.
So, like, it's like tiny little them making, like, this cake with all the ingredients that are now bigger than
making
them.
Making a regular-sized cake. And so they all go off on, flour. You know, poisonous flour, and they go out into teams of one or sometimes two, where, like, Ralphie's chasing eggs, Arnold's going to get baking soda, Phoebe getting butter, and DA, I think Dorothy Ann is her name.
Yeah.
She's the lookout. Like, she has to watch for Miss Frizzle to make sure she doesn't come back and find them.
Miss Frizzle does show up at one point, but like,
DA distracts her with, by mixing some kind of chemicals together.
Oh, they're mixing vinegar with baking soda, I think.
Oh, yeah, and making some kind of natural gas out of it.
Yeah, that's how, like, kids make those crappy volcanoes for science labs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the vinegar.
What you imagine when you think every science fair ever is those volcanoes.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. They're just a mess.
At one point, like, they get shrunk even smaller than before, so they are, like, microscopic almost. And, like, they're looking at, well, just giant sugar crystals and salt cubes. And the baker, like, he looks in, like, through the window into the bakery or into, like, the room where they're baking and sees, like, mostly just the bus flying around or doing stuff. And he's just, at first, I think he thinks it's, like, a fly or something or bugs.
Yeah,
or
that was a moth.
A moth, that's yeah. What it was, yeah.
It was a weird conclusion to get to, like. If I see something flying around, I'm usually like, my instinct is, oh, it's a fly, you know, just because that's the most common thing. It's weird that he's like a moth.
I mean, maybe I would think that too if it wasn't obviously a giant school bus, but I guess that wouldn't be my first thought.
Like, oh, a school bus.
Oh, a giant school bus, of course.
Yeah.
Powered by the souls of children, of course. Exactly. So he calls pest control to take care of one moth.
And they fall in the cake and then he puts it in the oven.
And that's where they do almost get cooked. And they would have, but luckily the bus had like a heat shield.
Yeah, which is, I think, it was actually working in outer space.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense too. Like they're screaming at first that they're getting baked and stuff like that. Miss Frizzle comes back.
So sinister. Yeah. So at first the children are screaming because they're being baked alive in a school bus.
That's true, though. That's so true. But it does sound terrible when you say it. It's almost like, it sounds like just a horror story of some sort.
It really does. Well, I mean, honestly, is this not? I mean,
no, I mean, yeah, if there's no like situation where I would be inside of a bus baking inside of an oven that I would ever think this isn't that bad. So yeah, that's horrifying for these children. Like they have to, some of them have to be traumatized by these experiences, getting lost in space, getting almost baked in an oven.
They should call
these
this,
are dangerous missions.
The dark magic school bus. Or the black magic school bus, something like that. Yeah.
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 It's, yeah, it gets pretty intense. And luckily, Miss Frizzle comes back right on time, jumps inside of the baking school bus, and just like she's the one who flips on the heat shields. Like Liz didn't even think about it. And she's like, just,
well, she's a lizard,
on the heat shield.
To be fair. I mean, she's just looking for bugs to eat. I mean, it's not her fault that Miss Frizzle's an idiot and put the lizard in charge.
Puts her in charge, yeah.
She's like, all right, Liz, you're in charge. And Liz just like looks around, scurries up a wall, starts eating bugs.
Yeah. So eventually they use the baking soda vinegar combination that they learned, that we learned earlier, to escape the cake by just helping the school bus float out of it.
I'm just like, how did they do it? Like, did they steal some of those ingredients and put them on the bus?
Yeah, like, why did they have those on hand?
They were thieving that stuff.
They thieved them.
and then they poured it out the back of the bus and it blew them out. But then, because they got away and they left the bakery, and then the kids came back later and got the cake from the baker, who gave it to them for free because he said it was ruined because of a fly or a moth or something. And and they're going to eat it. And I'm like, for one, morally, this is reprehensible because they basically stole his ingredients, made a cake.
Made a mess of his kitchen.
Yeah, mess up his kitchen. They made a cake. They almost made the guy go insane because he saw ingredients just moving around by themselves, at least he thought.
They almost made the guy get arrested because people would have found cooked children inside of his, inside of his oven.
And then they took his cake for free, knowing what they did.
Yeah, they're the ones who ruined it. Yeah. Where's the honesty there? Come
Plus,
on.
Plus, that cake is now full of vinegar and baking soda and like whatever dirt whatever and carbon emissions came from that bus. That's disgusting.
Who knows where those tires have been?
Exactly. They've driven through like rain puddles, and I'm sure have run over dead skunks from time to time. Somebody's pet cat.
So this is a show you really can't break down too far, or else it will fall apart quickly.
Yeah. And of course it ends with like a one-liner and everybody laughing.
Oh yeah. This one-liner is chemistry. It's a piece of cake.
So like I was trying to do a laugh, and then that laugh changed because of my cold.
And it ended up turn into
sounded like an old woman trying to escape from my body.
Trying to escape from an oven.
She was in a cake that I ate earlier.
She was in a cake. Yeah. Yep. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we ride on the magic school bus back in time to nab our inner kids from science class, and instead of using the bus's magic to teach them anything constructive, force them to watch TV and tell us what they thought of the show, The Magic School Bus.
This cartoon was okay, I guess. I mean, I don't usually like these kind of shows, but I did learn a lot. Like, it's okay to break into people's houses or steal their groceries to make food. I feel like this show could really help me go places. So I give it 3.5 bowls of irresponsible adult cereal out of 5.
As far as edutainment goes, this cartoon ranks right up there with, if not surpasses, Carmen Sandiego in my eyes. I appreciate the diversity in the children on the show, not only differing in ethnicities, but also having unique personalities to help us really see ourselves represented in some fashion. Not to mention the fact that Miss Frizzle was the coolest teacher we all wish we could have. Science is a very important subject that educators should definitely place more focus on, and this was a great way of making it both accessible and fun. Overall, I'd give Magic School Bus 4 big bowls of Heidi 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 High cereal out of 5, and I think my biggest takeaway from the show is that it's okay to risk your life by taking your helmet off in space, as long as you're doing it to prove a point. Yep, the worst you'll get is the sniffles and a slightly frozen head.
And to this day, I still have a cold from taking off my helmet in space.
And I still remember how to break into haunted houses.
We should break into houses more often.
Let's do it.
I mean, it's going to be Halloween soon. It seems like the perfect time.
We're doing it for the kids.
Yeah, we'll do it for the children. So speaking of for the children, do you have any final comments on this show?
I mean, it was pretty much what I remembered it being. It is educational to some degree. There's a lot that's like far out, but it does make it fun. And it's something where it keeps kids' attention because it's pretty fast paced at the same time. So it's teaching you while kind of rushing you through a crazy story. So I think if you're going to watch any kind of educational show as a kid, you know, you don't want to watch anything super slow paced and boring. And this is definitely not. So I think it does its job for what it is.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's a decent cartoon for education for all of its flaws. I say that jokingly, of course. I mean, I don't think a kid would watch this and immediately go break into a house, but, you know, maybe.
Or take his helmet off in space.
Yeah. But I do think that if I actually would have watched this as a kid, I probably would have liked it, especially when it gets into space or like if it goes into like animals or anything like that. So, yeah, I think it was decent. And I was actually surprised with how much I enjoyed it. So, you know, it's not something that I'm like, yeah, I want to watch more of this. But it was like a cool. I'm glad that I know what that was about now. So awesome. So thank you very much again, Sandra, for suggesting that for us.
Yeah, definitely, Sandra. Thank you. And yeah, I'm going to say like, I don't know if I'll watch any more of it, but I might check out the new one actually to see how it differs.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure that's one we'll end up doing for the show eventually too, because it would be cool to see how they compare.
Well, listeners, it looks like our milk supply is now run dry. So it's time for us to say goodbye. Next week, to start off our October celebration, we'll be watching
Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School, suggested via YouTube by Prince Dragon Air. And real quick before we go, we have a new 5-star rating on iTunes, and this is by Darth Baca. I guess that's like, maybe they're shipping Darth Vader and Chewbacca.
Oh, totally. Darth Baca. That's awesome.
So the comment says, awesome. This show is great. Love it. Actually, like if I want to read it as it was written, there's no period in between, so this show is great. Love it. But thank you so much, Darth Baca. And I honestly want to see like a drawing of a Darth Chewbacca now. Darth
Baca. Like a Sith Wookiee. That'd be awesome.
Unless it's like a relationship name. Yeah, now I want to see that drawing more. I want to see a drawing that depicts a love story between Darth Vader and Chewbacca. I think we all need to see that. So if somebody could please do that.
Probably already exists. I mean, it's just going to be like Darth Vader, like holding Chewbacca in his arms. Probably one of them has heart eyes or something. I don't know.
But like, if it'll happen. I'll make it the background on my phone for sure.
Forever.
Forever. Yeah. So just make sure that somebody gets that done.
Well, once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Oh, God.
Presented by NerdSloth.
A place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.